Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, a small business advocate, and I'm glad you're here. I'm excited about having our first guest, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. Price Cobbs is with us. And ladies and gentlemen, there are a few people, some of whom you've met on this show before, that I consider to be in a special group of people. And these are folks who spent their, you know, most of their lives witnessing the 20th century. And I call those people, as George S. Seldes titled his book, Witness to a Century, I consider these people to be witnesses to a century. My father was one of those. Austin Kiplinger, who's been on the show, is one of those. And the gentleman I'm about to interview, and you're about to meet, is someone I consider to be a witness to a century. His name is Price Cobbs, Dr. Price Cobbs. He's a psychiatrist. He's a black American. He's the author of a number of books, including Black Rage, Cracking the Corporate Code, The Jesus Bag, and the brand new book that you're not going to want to miss, My American Life, From Rage to Entitlement. Dr. Cobbs, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Jim, and thank you very much for the kind words.
Well, I don't know if you've ever read George S. Seldes' book, Witness to a Century. It's out of print probably, but it's probably about 18, 20 years old or so.
Yes.
But it was an impactful book for me. But I liked the title, and when I think about your generation, Dr. Cobbs, I think about that book and that title, and certainly you witnessed the 20th century, didn't you?
That's very correct. I witnessed a century that where America had a tremendous transformation. Not only in the political scene, in the economic scene, and most importantly, in the racial scene.
Well, you're of African descent. You're a black American.
Yes, that's correct.
But yet you've accomplished quite a bit. I mean, you grew up in a time, your generation of black Americans had a tough time, didn't they?
Yes, I was born in 1928, just at the dawn of the Depression. So I grew up in the Depression. My father was a physician in Los Angeles, California. He had, incidentally, I know you're in Florence, Alabama. My father had moved from Montgomery, Alabama. My mother was born in Birmingham, and when they got married, they decided to migrate to California. Mm-hmm. And that was a pivotal time in the history of our country.
Well, it certainly was. And what now, your experience, though, in that period of time with a family of professionals, parents who were professionals, that was a different experience for you than it was for a lot of black Americans, wasn't it?
It would be in some ways. Certainly, you know, people forget the Depression. We were not necessarily that much more economically advantaged than other people. Now, certainly, my father, quotes, had a job. We owned a home. We had a car. And in the Depression, that would have been an extreme marker that would differentiate you from a lot of people who didn't own anything and didn't have a car.
Or if they had owned anything, they lost it.
That's right. It was a stable environment. And I think, most importantly, it was an aspiring environment. Mm-hmm. But this does not mean that the same things that occurred to other black folks occurred to you. You couldn't go places. You couldn't do things. You were very circumscribed, whoever you were. There were no exceptions.
Well, there was always that first impression thing. Before they knew who you were, they knew you were black.
That's correct. Yeah, that's, I think, the most difficult when people say you don't know what it's like. I think sometimes that can be kind of overdone. But the one thing is that you don't know what it's like when entire impressions are made just as you come into view because someone sees you, and therefore they fill in the blanks about who you are, who you might be, any number of things that then allow them to put you in a category or stereotype you.
Dr. Cobbs, I'm going to read a little passage from your book, My American Life.
Yes.
As a practicing physician, I came to understand what black rage is. Now, you wrote a book about black rage.
That's correct.
Talk to us about that.
In 1968, William Greer and I, he is another psychiatrist, wrote a book called Black Rage. We were trying to understand and help educate the nation. What's going on? Why are we having these things? It was really at the height of the civil rights movement. And there were just any number of things. Watts had burned. There had been several other riots. Our book came out 2 months after Dr. King had been assassinated. 1968. Our book came out in June of 68. Dr. King was assassinated in April of 68.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we were trying to let people know that there was an ache, there was a hunger, that things had boiled over. And in many ways, you know, much like Rosa Parks, people collectively were saying, we had enough. One of the things I think in trying to explain things, particularly as a social scientist, many times people get mixed up in terms of, oh, if you explain it, you must justify it. We were never trying to justify rage. What we were trying to do was help the nation understand what was going on around it, and to the extent that the nation could understand more, then more remedial things could be set in place.
Dr. Cobbs, certainly I was a young man in those days.
Yes.
and just about to emerge in my career, in my family, and I was involved. I was a witness to that.
Yes.
And I could understand the black rage.
Mm-hmm.
But here's my question: is there still justification for black rage today in 2006?
Justification is a difficult word. Is it still present in the year 2006, of course.
I disagree with you. The
okay.
only reason I say that is because you have to admit that a lot has happened. A lot of things have been adjusted and righted. Maybe not 100%. A lot of progress has been made. And so if there is still black rage, well, let me ask you, let me rephrase the question.
Yes.
Is there still black rage?
Yes. Yes, there is still black rage.
And so now my second question, is it justified?
I don't know whether I would say, is it justified? I say that people, in whatever part of the world, people respond to what they perceive as injustice.
Perception is reality.
Yeah,
I understand,
feel,
Dr. Cobbs. Hold on, Dr. Cobbs. I have to take a quick break, sir. Dr. Cobbs and I will be right back after these messages, folks. This is a very important American, folks. You're going to want to hear what he has to say. 20 after. Stay with us.
I don't know why.
I was raised by two left-handed hands.
Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate. And ladies and gentlemen, we're visiting with a new friend, Dr. Price Cobbs, but he's soon to be an old friend because we're not going to let him get away. Dr. Cobbs, we still got some stuff to talk about today, but I just know that you've got too many things to teach us that you know, and I hope you'll come back other days in the future and share some of your wisdom with us.
I appreciate that. I certainly will, and I appreciate being welcomed in as a new friend. That's always a good feeling to meet somebody and immediately feel that a friendship is developing. So I appreciate that very much, Jim.
Well, and that's exactly how I feel. The book is called My American Life, From Rage to Entitlement. Dr. Cobbs, now the book's available wherever books are sold.
Yes, it is.
Is there a website for the book?
Yes, there is a website, pricecobbs.com, Price M. Cobbs. PriceCobbsMD.
That's the name of the book. But,
right.
But Price Cobbs with an S is the .com.
Right.
Is the
many
website.
Times people drop the S off. Right.
Right. Right. Okay. Now, the subtitle of your book is From Rage to Entitlement.
Yes.
And I asked you a minute ago if the rage is still justified. You could say it's not for me to say as a white man, but as I've witnessed half of the century, I have to question some of the rage that I'm seeing today, and I wonder if part of the rage hasn't been because of this assumption of what you call of this other word you use, which is entitlement.
I think as you talk, this is exactly the kind of dialogue that I want to have. When I talk about entitlement, I always say I am talking about a healthy sense of entitlement. It is not special treatment. You know, I think entitlement in our culture now is, in fact, much as you say, Jim, it's a bad word, gimme. I'm entitled to this. I'm entitled to that. That is not the entitlement that I'm talking about, and it's precisely why I want people, very specifically African Americans, to read it. What I am talking about is a healthy sense of American entitlement that has been incorporated. It's a psychological sense. It's a sense then that if I am entitled, I'm entitled to work my butt off. I'm entitled to have a small business. I'm entitled to get educated. It is not Jim Blasingame and America owes me a small business,
that's right.
Owes me a, so that's precisely why I wanted to use the word entitlement, because I want to make it a healthy sense rather than something that somebody feels is disproportionate or is irresponsible or where somebody is asking for something at the expense of someone else.
And one of the things you say in your book about that is that for blacks, this means moving beyond a sense of impotence,
that's
beyond
correct.
A sense of victimhood, and rumors of inferiority.
That's very correct. I must say, Jim, I appreciate your reading the book. All of us who are authors at times go on programs, and you're very aware that the person has not read the book. So I appreciate very much. Because so much of the dialogue around race, I think, just gets so distorted because people don't hear each other. And I say, that's precisely why I wanted to talk about moving from rage to entitlement. Because if one is just feeling enraged, that can make you feel impotent.
Mm-hmm.
You have to effectively manage any types of feelings so that when you say, is it justified? To me, it goes beyond being justified. It is, if you feel angry, what are you doing about it? How are you using that to energize yourself? How are you using that to change the situation? When you mentioned to me witnessing history, one of the key things for me was being involved with people who were very patriotic, who loved their country, and who wanted to act and move and try to get the country to live up to its best ideals. They were not people who were just involved in something willy-nilly. They viewed themselves, and they were accurate, as being involved in a noble cause and a noble American cause.
Well, Dr. Cobbs, this entitlement thing, this going from rage to wherever we are and wherever we need to be, it seems to me that the biggest impediment is the thing that you alluded to a minute ago without actually saying it. You were talking about the dialogue that you and I are having right now.
Yes.
It's devoid of political correctness.
Yes.
Hopefully you can see, you can feel that there's a great deal of respect, but it's devoid of political correctness. Isn't political correctness something that we've got to get rid of if black Americans are really going to claim their rightful place in America in the 21st century?
I certainly agree. But I also say sometimes we can't hide behind not being politically correct to be intolerant.
Where the respect comes
in. Yes, exactly. I think if you and I respect each other and are committed to trying to find a solution to something, we ought to be able to discuss anything. It's what I call getting off eggshells. You and I ought to be able to get off eggshells,
right.
Because the primary marker would be, I respect you, I may disagree, I want to hear, I may learn. Gee, I hadn't thought of it that way.
Not only respect, but good intentions.
Yes.
If you and I are working together, and you know that I have your best intentions, my best intentions are for you, and I respect you, then you can take my criticism or my suggestions, Doctor. Cobbs, we've run out of time. I'm looking forward to getting you back again real soon.
Okay, thank you very much for having me, Jim. I appreciate being on your program.
Dr. Price Cobbs, ladies and gentlemen, the book is called My American Life. You're not going to want to miss this. It's a very, very excellent book by a great American. Quick break, 29 after, right back with June Reed. She's in Baghdad. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.